Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Through both the prosperous and challenging economic cycles of agriculture, Farm Credit will support rural Illinois today and tomorrow.
From the Macon County Extension Office in Decatur, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of March 2018. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson. Russ Higgins from Extension will be here to look at dicamba as it's related to the pesticides management and training that's been taking place all winter long. Just a few more of those training sessions are available, and if you're planning to apply dicamba this year, you'll need to get yourself set up to go to one of them and be licensed for the year. We'll talk about that with Russ. And then a bit later in the program, we'll take up the weather forecast, too, with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson is now here. Hey, thanks for being with us, Jackie.
No, thank you.
So we've had a pretty good rally. I'm wondering what you think about it and what producers ought to do.
Well, I'm all in favor of rewarding this rally, and especially after a day like today. You know, when you look at the fact that We're near the highs for December corn from 2017, which was 417 and a quarter, and that came in July. You know, you've got to say to yourself, we hit 412, that, boy, you know, can this keep up? And I've got other information here, I think, that backs that up. When you look at the bean highs for November 17 was 1033 in March. By the end of March, we lost 79 cents. You know, that's significant is what it is. And so, you know, I have to ask myself, Todd, was today an exhaustion rally? You know, we haven't seen, May beans have not seen as sharp a drop during the day since November the 9th of 2017. And when I was reading Steve Fried this morning, he said money managers bought just a spectacular amount of Chicago traded corn futures and options during the first week of March. Now, when you look at speculators' attitudes, you know, toward the grains and the beans, it couldn't be more different right now than it was in January when they were really bearish. In the last 7 weeks, beginning January 17th, money managers, in other words, hot air, purchased an unprecedented net amount of 923,706 grain and oil seed futures and option contracts on the Chicago Board of Trade. And so we've all known all along that this is not necessarily a fundamental rally. You know, I mean, there's no question about that. So you just really have to ask yourself, if you have not rewarded this rally up until this point, you need to reward the rally. There's absolutely no question in my mind, especially when you look at the fact that, you know, we have the cash index. And you look at the cash index and what's been going on with the cash index, and we've seen, you know, a drop both on corn and beans. Beans had a much steeper drop than what corn did. And, you know, of course, people will say, well, the cash index doesn't indicate, you know, that's not me, basically. Well, it's 2,000 different elevators is what it is. And so if you look at the fact that we've seen it widen, it was 68 under at the beginning of March on beans, which would be nearby beans, of course, and, you know, 89 under just the day before yesterday. We're starting to see that basis widen, and those are things that we always encourage people to watch. You know, you've got to watch basis because basis is going to tell you what the attitude is from the commercial side of things. And so, again, we need to reward the rally. I think another thing that, one of the things that's been very supportive to corn since the USDA report is that they raised corn exports by 175 million bushels. And I guess I'm not saying I don't buy into it. You know, it was based on a record number of undelivered sales. You know, when you look at, you know, when you look at export sales on the reports, that is delivered bushels. And so we always have to remember, you know, From a statistician economic standpoint, there's no doubt, you know, that whatever we've got for undelivered sales this early in the year is going to be delivered at some point in time. The biggest question is, can we keep up the pace? At the moment, we're very fortunate, but we still remain behind the five-year average on corn, beans, and wheat for export inspections. So something's got to kick in, and I think the bottom line comes down to this could be very wild either way, especially if we would develop a weather situation as we go further down the road. But it could be ugly wild is what it could be. And so, it's one of those things.
Well, wild implies that we need to have some key posts that we look at. We've talked about the resistance and support levels. Do you have some updates for those this week?
I do. When you look at May corn, you're looking at resistance at 393, which is the 100-week moving average. And we went up there today and we touched, but we haven't. We need a close above it. Near-term support 383, which is the 50-week moving average. Now, I mean, when you start talking about week moving averages, those are really, really important numbers. The next would be 366 for support, which is a 100-day moving average, and major support is down there at that recent low of 353 and three quarters. When you look at May beans, we have resistance at 1082. Beyond that, of course, we're again into new contract highs, support 1059 and then at 1024. You know, the dollar has been supportive to us in a lot of ways. It tested the 10, the 20, and the 40-day moving averages today. And, it just doesn't have the steam to keep it, to keep climbing. So those are good things, that keeps us competitive, and that's really, really what we need to be.
What are you hearing, if anything, out of Argentina? Their crop should be just about done.
Yeah, I would have to say, I would probably summarize it by saying it's probably toast in some areas. When you look at, I talked with Dr. Cordonier, he lowered the bean crop to 43 million metric tons. That's 4 million metric tons lower than what the USDA had on the report last week. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange lowered the harvested acres by 700,000 hectares. But when you look at the big picture, okay, that's 3.8% of what gets planted. And so that's, I think that's fairly conservative. And I'm not sure how excited we'd be at 3.8% drop. So the Argentine farmer, of course, still is not selling. We're still at 75 to 80% poor to very poor on beans. Topsoil moisture dropped another 10% this week from 75 to 85. And they do have a forecast down there for some heavy rain over the next couple of weeks, which ironically, might save the yield on some of those latest planted beans. They really need it. There's no question. Early corn right now averaging 101 bushel to the acre, which I thought was pretty sick. Pretty doggone good, considering how poor things have been. It's the later planted corn that is, I think, likely going to be worse. The best yields that I saw were 145 on the high end and like 79 to 80 on the low end. So there's no doubt it's tough down there.
Hey, I know that in Brazil, I think as a whole, they're about 48% harvested at this point. Do you know how that compares to previous years?
They're actually ahead, believe it or not. 46% is the five-year average. They're behind last year. Everybody in South America is behind last year. But when you look at the five-year average, it's 46%. Mato Grosso, of course, being the largest growing area, is the one that everybody's interested in. And they're 83% harvested, which is exactly the same as that five-year average. So it's interesting. Dr. Cordonier raised the bean yield to 114 million metric tons, equal to the record that they put in last year in Brazil, compared to the USDA 113 million metric tons. I expect that USDA is going to catch up with that.
Hmm. What else do we know about Brazil? I'm thinking about them as an exporter for the next several months, in fact.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's been quite a change. When you look at Brazil, they are now the number one soybean exporter to China. We no longer are. And they were talking to one of their large shipping senior officials, he said they have the capacity to further boost that crop production by adding more land under cultivation. Now, you say to yourself, well, how much could they add? And they'll only do it if there seems to be more of a international appetite, I guess is what you would call it. In other words, a big want. But they can increase the soybean and corn crop acres by 9.7 million hectares immediately. Can you fathom that? 9.7 million hectares immediately. So as of now, they're producing mainly corn and beans on 33 million hectares, you know. And so, oh, yeah, and I forgot, Safrinha corn, 81% planted, and that is very much equal to the five-year average. So in parts of South America, things are going well, and in other parts, they're pretty poor.
Always interesting to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. That, of course, is Jackie Vakes. She is with Stuart Peterson. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Visit us online at WILLAG.org. There you can check out our schedule of events, including tonight's Will Ag Marketing Panel. That's at the Richland Community College building in Clinton, Illinois. That's in Clinton, 140 Sunset Court, starting at 6:30. Todd Hubbs, ag economist from the U of I, will be there, along with Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities and Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing. This one sponsored by WHOW. Our thanks to them. This is just the beginning of the end of the season for our Outlook panels. In fact, we'll be out again next week and the following week. Those should be the last two. Next week, we'll be down in Clark County, Marshall, Illinois. This one's a lunch. You may not have seen it yet, but if you're in that area, you should get a postcard in the mail soon enough. I think lunch will start at 11:30, and then we'll follow up with a panel on Wednesday of next week, the 21st, with Matt Bennett from Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds. Todd Hubbs will be there, too, from the U of I, and Sherman Newland. U of I Extension is the sponsor for that one. That's in Marshall County at the Clark County Extension Office on Wednesday, the 21st. And we'll wrap up our meeting season on the second day of April. That'll be the last one in Champaign County, out at the Champaign County Farm Bureau U of I Extension building for the Champaign County Marketing Club. And it'll be a good one, a special one, because we will have at that point the prospective plantings report back in hand, and we'll get a view of it from Todd Hubbs, U of I, along with Gary Schnitke from the U of I. So we'll put the crop budget and the prospective plantings and the potential price changes in place. That'll be on the second day of April, right here in Champaign County. Well, I'm in Macon County this afternoon, but in Champaign County for that meeting. Our thanks to the Champaign County Marketing Club and the Farm Bureau in the county for helping to put that one together. We'll be back in a couple minutes. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner is now here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hey, Drew, let's get right to it. Argentina, what are conditions like at this point?
South America's picture continues to look rather good for improvement as we go forward through this next 7 to 10-day period. There are three storm systems that will impact that part of the region. The first one is going to occur today and tomorrow across northern portions of the country. It will probably miss the heart of the major grain and oilseed production areas, and as a result of that, we'll probably end up with an environment here where additional stress will take place as we go forward into the end of this week. In fact, temperatures in Argentina are going to get quite hot as well, getting back into the 90s to near 100 degrees on Friday afternoon. The second disturbance will come across the region on Saturday into Sunday. And at that point, we expect to see a fair amount of Buenos Aires, Entre Rios, and southern Santa Fe pick up on some rain. The greatest amounts will be in the northeast half of Buenos Aires into southern Entre Rios and neighboring areas of Uruguay, where there will probably be rain totals that will run anywhere from around a half to 1.5 inches in general, with local totals of 2 to 3 inches. But this is on the southeastern fringe of the most important crop areas, and we will have to wait a little while longer to get precipitation to fall in the west. The western areas areas will probably pick up on precipitation at the end of next week going into the following weekend. That's a long ways to wait. This does include Cordoba and western parts of Buenos Aires as well as La Pampa. And as time goes on, though, I do think everybody will have received some significant moisture. It's not going to be a drought-busting rain for anybody, but there will be enough moisture there to take the edge of the stress down by a couple of notches and help to induce a better environment for late-season pod filling for soybeans and also to improve the situation for sorghum and some other late-season crops like peanuts.
And in Brazil?
Brazil's weather still looks to be quite favorable. I don't think there's anything that we can really find to pick on too much here. The biggest issue with Brazil, of course, is the ongoing concern for the second season corn crop, which has already been reduced in size just by intentions of planting being dropped. But there's also going to be the risk, and a fairly good one, I must say, that there's going to be a lack of precipitation occurring during the heart of the reproductive season. I think seasonal rains will fall out in April, and we will have to see those crops support themselves off of the subsoil moisture only. And that could create some issues with the late planted crop not yielding very well. And of course, in a hard red winter wheat country in the U.S., there's still some ongoing concern about dryness there. That is not going to go away anytime soon. Most of the models recently have been trying to generate a little bit of moisture in the part of West Texas, northward into portions of southwestern Kansas, and they're going to continue to try to do this periodically. But I think for this next week and a half, there's not much opportunity for meaningful moisture there. A few showers may occur, but it's not going to be drought-breaking type rains. In fact, there's not going to be that much moisture there for crops to even respond to. It is warm out there. It's going to continue to be warm, so there's going to be an increasing amount of crop stress developing in that region. And the unirrigated crops, which have no moisture, will just be left on hold for a while, but they can only stay in this state for so long. Eventually, they will wither and possibly die. Now, I'm not suggesting that will take place. I do think the month of April will bring opportunity for precipitation to the region. It's just not necessarily going to be huge amounts of it, and below average amounts will still be the total for the month.
Hey, thanks, Drew. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.